Hey everyone, welcome back to the Origin Podcast. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Alex. Today we're diving into some really fascinating research about a rare genetic disorder and, believe it or not, a potential new treatment approach.
Yeah, this one's pretty cool. We're talking about Ahlstrom syndrome, which is, well, it's one of those genetic conditions that affects multiple body systems. But one of the big issues is obesity.
Right. And it's connected to something called ciliopathy. So basically, there are these tiny hair-like structures on cells called primary cilia that aren't working properly.
Exactly. And what's interesting is that researchers have been trying to figure out, why does a problem with these tiny cellular structures lead to obesity? Like, what's the actual mechanism?
That's where this study comes in. The research team did this massive multi-omics analysis. So they're looking at metabolomics, transcriptomics, proteomics, even the gut microbiome.
Basically throwing everything at it to understand what's going on, right?
Exactly. And they focused on mice that have a mutation in the ALMS1 gene. That's the gene that causes Ahlstrom syndrome. What they found was pretty surprising.
So what did they find? I'm guessing it wasn't just, oh, the mice eat more?
Ha, no. So they discovered that even before the mice showed any signs of obesity, like at 6 weeks old, when they still looked totally normal, their livers already had problems with lipid metabolism.
Interesting. So there were early warning signs in the metabolism.
Right. And here's where it gets really interesting. They found two key problems. Autophagy was impaired, and there was this protein called ACBP that was building up.
Okay. So, autophagy. That's like the cell's recycling system, right? Where it breaks down old components.
Exactly. It's like the cell's cleanup crew. And ACBP, this is a protein that basically tells the body to make and store fat. It's actually been called an obesogenic factor.
Oh, wow. So if you have too much of it,
you're basically getting signals to accumulate fat even when you don't need to. And the cool part is, the researchers tested whether blocking ACBP could help.
And did it work?
It did. They used a monoclonal antibody to neutralize ACBP, and when they gave it to young mice before they developed obesity, it prevented weight gain and improved their glucose tolerance.
That's actually pretty remarkable. So they could stop the obesity from developing in the first place?
Yeah, but here's the catch. It worked best as a preventive treatment. When they tried it on mice that were already obese, it didn't reverse the weight gain as effectively.
So, timing matters. That could be really important for thinking about how this might translate to human patients.
Absolutely. And they also found that the treatment normalized a lot of the metabolic changes in the liver. Things like lipid metabolism, gene expression, even the gut microbiota composition.
Wait, the gut microbiome was affected too?
Yeah. The mice with the mutation had increased levels of certain bacteria like Desulfovibrio, and the anti-ACBP treatment helped restore a healthier bacterial balance.
That's fascinating, because it suggests the effects aren't just local. It's affecting the whole metabolic ecosystem, if you will.
Exactly. And what I think is really clever about this study is how they distinguished between changes that were specific to the genetic mutation versus just general obesity.
Oh, how'd they do that?
They compared the mutant mice to mice with diet-induced obesity. You know, just fed a high-fat diet. And they found some metabolic changes were common to both types of obesity, but others were unique to the genetic mutation.
Smart. So they could really pinpoint what was specific to the ciliopathy versus what was just obesity being obesity.
Right. For example, they saw specific increases in things like succinic acid and gluconic acid that were only in the mutant mice, not the diet-induced obesity mice.
And the ACBP treatment reversed those specific changes?
It did, which suggests it's really targeting the underlying mechanism, not just treating the symptoms.
Now, you mentioned earlier that autophagy was impaired. Did the ACBP treatment fix that too?
Actually, no. And that's interesting. The treatment improved the metabolic problems and prevented obesity, but it didn't restore normal autophagy. So ACBP seems to be acting downstream of the autophagy defect.
So they're separate pathways, or at least ACBP is doing its damage independently of the autophagy issue.
Exactly, which actually might be good news for treatment, because it means you might not need to fix everything. Just targeting ACBP could be enough to prevent the obesity.
That's a really important point for translational medicine. So, where does this leave us for human patients with Alström syndrome?
Well, it's still early days. This was all done in mice. But the researchers point out that patients with Alström syndrome do respond to calorie-restricted diets. And interestingly, calorie restriction is known to affect ACBP levels.
So, there might already be some indirect evidence in humans that this pathway is relevant.
Right. And the study suggests it would be worth measuring ACBP levels in patients to see if it could be a biomarker for monitoring disease progression or response to dietary interventions.
That would be really valuable, especially for a condition that doesn't have a lot of treatment options right now. What about the antibody approach itself? Is that something that could be developed for humans?
Potentially, yeah. Monoclonal antibodies are already used for lots of conditions, so the technology is there. The question would be safety, efficacy, and you know, whether the same mechanism holds true in humans.
Right, because mice are mice, and humans are humans.
Exactly. Though I will say, the multi-omics approach they used here, looking at so many different levels of biology at once, that really strengthens the case that they've identified something real.
Yeah, it's not just one measurement or one experiment. They're seeing consistent patterns across metabolism, gene expression, protein levels, and even the microbiome.
And they looked at different time points too, before symptoms appeared, at early obesity, and at advanced disease, so they could really map out how things change over time.
That temporal aspect is so important for understanding disease progression. Were there any other surprising findings from the study?
One thing I found interesting was that even though the mice with the mutation had impaired autophagy at baseline, they could still respond to starvation by releasing ACBP, just like normal mice.
So the system isn't completely broken. It's just not working properly under normal conditions.
Right. Which again suggests that the defect might be targetable. There's still some functional capacity there.
Before we wrap up, we should probably mention this is a rare disease, right? How many people are affected by Alström syndrome?
It's very rare, probably fewer than 1,000 known cases worldwide. But the insights from studying it could potentially apply to more common forms of obesity, especially if ACBP turns out to be a key player in other contexts too.
That's often how it works with rare diseases. They can teach us things about fundamental biology that apply more broadly.
Exactly. And this study is a great example of how modern techniques, these multi-omics approaches, can really accelerate our understanding of complex diseases.
Absolutely. So to sum up, we've got a rare genetic disorder affecting primary cilia, leading to impaired autophagy and elevated ACBP, which contributes to obesity. And blocking ACBP can prevent the obesity from developing.
And the treatment also normalized metabolic changes in the liver and improved the gut microbiome composition. Pretty comprehensive effects from targeting one protein.
Which is encouraging for potential therapeutic development. Is there anything patients or families affected by Alström syndrome should take away from this?
I think the main message is that research is ongoing and there are potential new targets being identified. The study also reinforces that dietary interventions, which some patients already use, might be working partly through ACBP-related mechanisms.
And it's worth noting that the researchers are suggesting ACBP levels could potentially be monitored in patients, which could help with disease management even before new treatments are available.
Right. And for the broader audience, this is just a really nice example of how understanding disease mechanisms at a molecular level can open up new therapeutic possibilities.
Absolutely. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for joining us on the Origene podcast.
If you found this interesting, make sure to subscribe and check out our other episodes. Until next time.